Your speaker is Claude Farr.
The title of the lesson this morning is Under God's Command, and the particular text that we'll begin with is the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And so if you'd like to follow along, take your Bible at this time and turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, and I'll begin reading in verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus obeyed God. That is, he lived his life under his command. God demands that we obey him. Our life, every aspect of it, is to be lived under the command of God. Our religious life, our moral life, our social life, our family life, our business life, our recreational life, every aspect of life, the Christian is to live in obedience to God's teachings and God's commands. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And now, doesn't everybody know that? Well, no, not really. Surely all religious people know that. But again, no, not really. But certainly those who are very conservative and Bible-believing and believe in and advocate the inerrancy of Scripture, surely they believe that. No, not really. Not really. The major problem in the religious world today is that people do not generally believe that you really have to obey God. It's easy to show what the Bible says, but it is very difficult to help people understand that they must do as God has directed. For example, it's not hard to show the Bible teaching on baptism that it is for believing adults, not infants, that it is a burial in water, not sprinkling or pouring, and that it is for the forgiveness of sins. It's not hard to show that that's what the Bible says, but it's difficult to make people understand that it's important that they do that exactly as God has taught. It's not hard to show that under the Old Testament system, people praise God through the use of instruments of music, as in, for example, Psalm 150. But in the New Testament, it says simply to sing. It's not hard to show that to people and let them clearly see that that's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But it is very difficult to help people and to convince people that it makes a difference. In fact, with many people, it's simply a non-issue, which means that they do not believe that you have to do exactly as God has commanded. It's not hard to show that Jesus said, of marriage, whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That's not hard to show from the Bible. But it is difficult to get people to believe that they must actually live by that. You could go on with the list of many things that are taught in the Scriptures, and they're very clear, and intelligent people have no difficulty in understanding it. And when you talk with people, you can tell many times that they understand that, they can see that. But do you really have to do it exactly as God has said? The current thinking is this. The current thinking is, if you have a personal relationship with God, and you're a spiritual person, and you're serving God in your own way, then that's okay. And you may not do it things exactly as they're laid out in the Scriptures, but if you have that kind of a relationship with God, then you'll be okay. But the Bible teaches, and what I want to demonstrate this morning, the Bible teaches that we need to obey God. God demands that we live our lives under His command and do things the way that He has said for us to do that. First, I'd like to look at the voice of history, Bible history. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4, that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That means the history that we have in the Old Testament is there, that we might read and we might learn some lessons from that Old Testament history. and you start at the very outset with Adam and Eve, and you find that God gave them a command not to eat of a certain fruit in the garden, they disobeyed. And the result of that demanded obedience. They disobeyed, and there were eternal consequences to their disobedience. In contrast with that, there's Noah. God told Noah to build an ark. He gave him some very specific instructions about the materials and the size of the ark. Gopher wood, 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. And then in Genesis 6, verse 22, it says, after God had given him these commands, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Noah did exactly what God told him to do. He's recognized as one of the great heroes, the great servants of God in the Old Testament. One of the outstanding examples of disobedience is that of King Saul in the matter of the Amalekites, as found in 1 Samuel chapter 15. God told, through Samuel, God told Saul to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites, their flocks and their herds, as well as the people. And Saul did that, except that he spared Agag the king and certain of the best of the flock. And as he was returning, he met Samuel the prophet, and he said, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." He thought he had obeyed God. Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep which I hear?" And Saul explained that we really obeyed God, but we kept some of the best of the flock that we might have a sacrifice to God when we got back home. And the prophet, speaking for God, said, "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs." And the kingdom was taken from Saul and from his family because of his disobedience. And there are many other examples throughout the Old Testament, the history of the Old Testament, that show us that God expects obedience. When men disobey, they suffer. When they obey, they're blessed, they're recognized by God as His people. The prophet Isaiah, as well as anybody else in the Bible, expressed what God looks for in a human being. He said, "To this man will I look, even to him that is humble, of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word." In other words, God looks for somebody who is not proud and arrogant. God looks for someone who is contrite because when he has broken God's commandments. And he looks for someone specifically, with regard to the lesson this morning, who trembles at His Word. And the idea there is, the person who, when God says something, he's afraid to go against it. He trembles. And that's what we need in our world today. When God says, for example, burial in baptism, we should tremble at the very thought of sprinkling or pouring. When God says, sing, we should tremble at the very idea of introducing an instrument of music which God has not authorized. When God says that marriage is for life, we should tremble at the very thought of breaking a marriage. You could go on with the list. The Bible clearly teaches that what God looks for in a person is someone who is very careful to abide by His exact teaching. But now that's the Old Testament. I want to read a few passages from the New Testament which emphasize the same thing. We'll start with Jesus and His teaching. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. In the Sermon on the Mount, this is what Jesus says. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And Jesus is just saying that there are a lot of people that will profess Jesus as Lord. They'll call Jesus Lord. But they're not doing God's will, and those people will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then turn over to chapter 15 and verse 8. Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah in verses 7 and 8 and applies it to the people of His day, to the Pharisees. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now that's a very interesting passage, because it's usually misinterpreted. What actually does Jesus say, or is Jesus talking about in this passage? Well, usually this passage is read or quoted and explained to mean that there are people who have an outward form of religion. They're keeping God's commands outwardly, But worship is vain because their heart's not really in it. Now, it's certainly true that that sometimes happens, that people keep the outward forms of God's teachings and their heart is not in it. And as a result of that, it's not acceptable. That's certainly a Bible teaching in other places. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not at all what Jesus is talking about in this passage. What Jesus is talking about here is the setting aside or not obeying God's commandment. He makes that very clear if you look at the context. Verse 3, for example. Why do you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? Verse 6. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. And then verse 9. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus is talking about those who profess to be serving God, but they're not following His teachings. They're not living by His commands. It's a heart matter, Jesus says, when people do not obey God. It's kind of ironic that the very people who will that people will say that you don't really have to do exactly what God says. If the heart is right, then everything's okay. And Jesus is saying in this passage, if you're not doing just what God says, that shows your heart's not right. And so Jesus teaches the very opposite, really, in this passage of what is the current thinking in the religious world generally, and the way in which many people interpret this very passage. But then turn on over a little bit further to the book of Matthew, the very last chapter, the last two verses. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And what we'll note from there is, of course, that baptism is important, but the thing that I want us to notice is that it's not just baptism, but it's all things that Jesus taught, teaching them to observe or follow all things that I have commanded you. And as you go on through the New Testament, you see Jesus speaking again. On one occasion, He says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? It's a matter of authority. If Jesus is really Lord of your life, then you do what He says. Another place He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's no such thing as a person deliberately disobeying God's commands, thinking those things are not important, and at the same time loving Him. And so Jesus, well, it's the great prophets of the Old Testament. Jesus very strongly taught that God's commands are to be followed. We're under His command. He demands that people obey Him. And then leaving the teachings of Christ and going to the writings of the apostles, look at a passage through there. First of all, the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul is writing and he says this, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, But how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So Paul said, you know, you've obeyed up to now. You keep on obeying. In fact, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God demands obedience. And then we turn back over to the passage we started with in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Now, the last part of verse 9 says of Jesus that He's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. A little bit later in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter tells us we're to live as obedient children. He also talks about purifying our hearts by obeying the truth. And then in 1 John, we have this reading, 1 John chapter 2. And hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, this is a very significant passage in view of what we hear so much in our world today. People a lot of times will say or ask the question, do you know the Lord? And that, of course, is a question that everybody needs to face. Do you really know the Lord? You know the Lord or you do not know the Lord by whether or not you keep His commandments. That's what John said. And for a person to say, I know the Lord, but to be careless about following the commands of God, well, John's very blunt. He says that's a liar. That person is deceived and is a liar. It's simply not telling the truth. Because if you really know the Lord, you will be keeping His commandments. And then turn over to the very last chapter of the Bible just to show how it ends, chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are those that keep His commandments. That's the way the Bible ends. And we, of course, have just skimmed the surface, as you know. But from Genesis to Revelation, it is made abundantly clear that God demands obedience. We're to live our lives under His command, every aspect of our life. The word command, or the word obey, rather, is an interesting word. And I always like, I guess as you know, I always like to look up the etymology and the background of words. And the word obey, the English word obey, comes from two different words, which means to hear toward. Two words that form it. Hear toward. That's what that's the word, the literal meaning of obey. And you can get the picture. It's kind of like you're leaning forward to hear, or you're sitting on the edge of your seat and you're leaning forward. You want to hear what God says. You want to know just what God says so you can do what He says. That's the idea of the English word obey. The Greek word that is translated obey in our English Bible is even more interesting. It means to hear also, but not to hear toward, but it means to hear under. That's what obey means. It means to hear under. And our military, of course, is a good example of that. You're under somebody's command. And so when you talk about being obedient to God, it means you're under God's command. And that's the attitude that is necessary for a person to have if they're really going to be pleasing to God. And the major problem, at least one of the major problems in the world today among religious people, is there is not that feeling that they must tremble at God's Word. There's not that feeling that they must do exactly what God says to do and the way He says do it. But that if you have a personal relationship with God, as they would put it, if you're a spiritual person and you're serving God in your own way, that you're okay. The Bible teaches otherwise. The Bible teaches that God expects obedience. Just a few years ago, I was in a home Bible study, and there was a young couple there, and they went on, I think we studied for months. And they were there and enjoyed the Bible study very much, and we had very interesting Bible study, and everything went well, and everything was smooth, and we taught a lot of Bible. And a lot of what we taught, which was clearly from the Scriptures, was in direct conflict with the religion that they were a part of. And they were intelligent people. They could see that. Wasn't any problem. Wasn't any problem for them to see that this is what we do in our religion, and this is what the Bible says. They were not convicted. They were not disturbed. They didn't even argue. The reason is this attitude that pervades the religious world today, and that is the basic attitude that, well, if you have a relationship with God and with Jesus, you don't really have to be so careful about keeping His commandments. Well, the problem is that God expects us to keep His commandments. And a person may have a relationship with God without it, but it's not the right relationship. The relationship which God demands is that we obey Him, that we live our lives under His command. Coming to Christian, of course, you can talk about it in a lot of ways. And one way we can say it, just using what we're talking about this morning, is putting your life under His command. Now, there's some specific things that the Bible says you're supposed to do. You need to believe. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess your faith. And you need to be baptized for the remission of sins. And when you do that, you're actually obeying what God has said for you to obey. But in all of that, you're putting yourself, your whole life under His command if you do it rightly. That's what comes from your heart. Of faith, you're saying, I don't trust myself in how to live, I trust God. Repentance, you're saying, I'm not going to do it the way I've been doing it anymore, I'm going to do it God's way. Confession, I'm not Lord of my life, Jesus is Lord of my life. Baptism, my old life is buried, I'm starting a new life, a life under God's command. And then, of course, from then on, the rest of your life, in every aspect of it, in your family, in your work, your social life, your religious life, of course, in your moral life, in everything, it's what God says. Because you recognize that you're living your life under His command.